play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2021 WGC St. Jude's Invitational, actually. It's not Classic. That's the Invitational now that it's a special hoity-toity event. We'll recap a little bit of the Olympics, too, which is pretty fun to see as well. You can find myself on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's another beautiful day, and we got some golf back. It felt really weird, I'll be honest. As much as it was fun watching primetime golf, it felt weird on Friday not tilting something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was
different.
Yeah. We've had, it feels like 100 straight weeks of golf. So, yeah, it was definitely weird not to really, I don't know. It was hard to get into just because of the late night and all that kind of stuff. Wasn't a good time on my end. I know you said it was better time on your end.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for the most part, especially on the weekdays. Weekends, it was tricky because it's like, okay, well, it's during dinner time with the family and it's this and that. So kind of like it disrupts that point of things, but it was still fun. The hardest part was the coverage on TV was excellent. Like, that was awesome. Golf shots galore. Loved it. Following it on your phone, less than ideal.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Like, it was horrible. So
yeah, the only way I figured out where my guys were was literally going to DraftKings.
That was the best way. It really was. Like, the PGA app would have it, but they'd be like three holes behind. And then certain nights, the golf or the Olympic app would have it. And then other times it wouldn't have it. It was all over the board. So I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to wake up in the morning and just refresh and see how that is it really green or not green at all? That's what we're going with.
Well, the other thing is it's a fucking no cut event. So, you know, you might be cashing real good on Thursday and then, you know, lose all your money come Sunday. So
it's as if you saw my account.
That's what it felt like.
I had the nuts going, at least it felt like the nuts going, like through, even through Friday. And then Saturday, I had a few hanging on, and then by the end of Sunday, I was just like, I had no Sabatini, none. Like,
no,
so
he wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah, CT Pan. I even tweeted it out. I did the 2020 lineups on threw at the model on the generator on Fantasy National, and they spit out like three CT Pans. Like, oh, they're drunk. He's not good. So, you know, I altered that one.
Oh, God.
That would have been nice. So, yeah, it's like I said last week. I just need to like trust the thing and just let it go. But it's I get frustrated because it'll be like it'll spit it out with the what I want, but it'll leave like $2,000 on the table or something. I'm like, okay, well, I can upgrade a little bit here, and then it's.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And the thing is, and then eventually you'll start trusting it, and then it'll suck, and then you'll go back to not trusting it.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, my friend. But it was fun to watch. Good for Xander. Like, that was great. It's the whole funny, like, he does great no-cut events. And we've said it many times. I've said it because, like, in my mind, I remember vividly, I believe it was HSBC or whatever it was, where it might have even been concession. It was concession this past go-around. He had one horrible hole, like a triple bogey. Everything else, he would have basically tied for first type thing.
Yeah.
He plays great in these events. We're going to chug it along. And he was trying to give it away, Jesse. I don't know how much of it you got to see highlights or anything. I saw some highlights about Sunday. He tried to give the darn thing away. It was impressive.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch any golf on the weekend. So I'm really kind of clueless other than just looking at the leaderboard here. So,
well, you were lucky because you were playing golf. But yeah, Sabatini, good for him. At least, you know, he changed citizenships and he got a medal out of it. So that's cool, I guess. I guess the last thing I'll say, it was really fun. The coverage, like I said, was great. The interviews of the golfers were great. I really enjoyed listening to them talk about the Olympic experience.
Yeah.
Because it you could tell it actually was like, oh, crap, these guys aren't just like millionaires looking for a purse here. Like, this actually was important.
Right.
And they've talked about it more and more since then. So I think the next, like, Paris is going to be awesome because we love that course. We've talked about that already.
Yep.
There's going to be guys that really want to play now. And then Riviera in 28, and I don't even know where 32 is, but golfers are going to want to play now, which is going to make this, it's going to feel like a WGC event, but maybe better type thing.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
Last thing I'll ask you, and then we'll get to the DraftKings for the week. There were like rumors, like rumblings, like right now it's the 4-round no cut event, like we're going to have this week, but there are people talking about maybe making some team events out of it, doing other aspects of it. Would you want to see anything else added to this? Because it was like fun on Saturday. Rory and Lowry were in the same group, and they said how much that was cool, and then hanging out in the village together, stuff like that. So they're thinking maybe do like a couple rounds of strokes, maybe introduce some of this or that. Do you have any, like, do you care at all, or do you anything like that?
I think that would be awesome. I mean, the more golf, the better, right? Yeah. The problem is trying to get it all in 2.5 weeks or however long the Olympics are. And then, of course, you've got the women who will have their, deal coming up here next weekend. But, I mean, it would be kind of cool in between, like, if you had men first or women first, whatever the case is.
Teams.
Yeah, and do a mixed. I think that would be awesome to watch.
That would be sweet. Like, yeah. That would be really, really cool because you have all those amazing Asian golfers on the LPGA Tour that I guarantee you most of our listeners have no idea who they are.
Right.
And, like, but then you give them that spotlight to go tee it up with. Maybe they tee it up with, like, Sungjae or CT Pan or something as a team, and then you got always, like, that would be really cool. Like,
yeah, I agree.
That'd be pretty
100%. Yeah, I think so, that would be awesome. I've thought about that the whole time, but again, it's just difficult to get that logistics. Fit into the schedule, you know, with everything else going on. Like, I mean, didn't the women just have their U.S. Open?
Yeah,
wasn't that this past weekend?
They had their British Open.
Was it U.S.?
It might
maybe it was the Open.
They had a major. I don't know either. They had a major. Yes.
Yeah.
It is wild in that respect.
I don't know. Either way, it's just hard to fit it all in 2.5 weeks. So.
But I
wouldn't mind if they did some kind of, like, you know, 1 year it's a team event, the next time it's an individual event, you know. Mix, I think that would be kind of all right too. Yeah.
Yeah. And the joke that I thought was funny is, and they'll never do this, but it's like, okay, well, if we can have ping pong instead of, like, because it's like they're calling small tennis and stuff like this, because they call it table tennis, not ping pong. So all these other things. Can we have, like, a miniature golf course of, like, like, how funny would that be? That's more like probably, like, you know, X Games or something, like ESPN the Ocho stuff.
Right.
Man, that'd be hilarious just thinking about. I'm like, it makes sense what they're saying. It's never going to happen, but it makes total sense what they're saying.
I know what you mean.
Like, they did 3-on-3 basketball this year, like, in the Olympics. So, like, let's have a par 3 tournament or something.
Yeah.
Like, and you get points for holes and ones and shit. Like, that's kind of stuff. That's fun to watch. So I don't know, but that might just be the nerd golf guy. Like, I just want all the golf we can get. Just give me everything.
I'm with you.
We'll go from there. But all right, let's get to this week's action. There's two events this week. We'll talk about the WGC St. Jude's Invitational this week on this show. If you have Barracuda questions, I know we will degen it somewhere in the Slack chat. It will happen. I'm not going to pretend it won't happen. So if you have questions, jump in there. I literally will build a model for it now that I can with a few clicks just to see what spits out, just out of curiosity. So come join us in there. But this will be focused on the WGC. So what kind of past event history do you have for us this week?
Yeah. So it's been the WGC St. Jude FedEx Invitational, I think just for the last couple of years. 2020. Was the second year. Justin Thomas was the winner, 3 shots over Berger, Koepka, Tom Lewis, and Phil. And then 2019 was Brooks, Koepka, 1300, 3 shots over Webb Simpson. Of course, they've had the St. Jude, in the past. So there's plenty of, like, course history. But as far as event history at this tournament, that's where, you know, that's it. Because it was the Bridgestone before that, which I think was in Akron, Ohio. And obviously that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, it's only been the actual WGC for a few years, which you get the big dogs at. So that's always exciting, but it is the same golf course down here in Memphis that we've grown to love recently. TPC Southwinds in Memphis, Tennessee, is a par 70, 7,244 yards, smaller greens, Bermuda greens, and the rough will get you in trouble. So it's not like it's super thick rough, but it's thick enough to make it very difficult to stick it on these small greens. So what you're going to want is fairways, and you're going to want a good approach game with your irons, which has been a theme of recent weeks, probably like anywhere from 150 to 200. So around that 175 mark, if those guys are firing well there, you're good to go. Obviously, with a no-cut event, you can have a couple hiccups and make things work. And you want birdies. You want drafting, scoring out the yin-yang. Brooks has been great here. DJ's been great here. JT's the defending champion, like you were saying. I saw a stat, WGC, the top four stroke or like per round scores in like the last like 12 events or whatever. It's Brooks, Xander, DJ, and JT. Not in that order, but those are the four that popped up, which makes a lot of sense. Also, the last four champions at this golf course specifically. They finished either first or second in strokes gained approached in the field for the week. So they're going to want a strong iron player What kind of stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
I mean, I think you just kind of covered it. Accuracy over distance, obviously strokes gained approach is important. Birdie or better, and then luck box putting.
Luck box putting. That's going to be a big, big theme this week. And also, when looking at the par fives, there are two of them. One of them has like a 1.4% eagle rate, the other one 2.8%, so not the biggest eagle rates, but by far the biggest birdie opportunities on this golf course. The 16th is almost a 50% birdie rate, and the par five third hole is a 33% birdie rate. So you need your boys getting it down on those two holes. That's for sure. So if you want to wait par five scoring, you can. With only two par fives, I'm kind of tempted not to go super heavy on par five scoring, but more like birdie or betters, or like what you've told me before, and it makes a lot of sense. Opportunities gained, because we want DK scoring. So that's a huge one to take advantage of there. But small greens, you want to be in the fairways. Like it's been, you're going to hear it all week. Fairways, fairways, fairways. So check all that out. Lastly, fanshare.sports.com. Promo code always press for 20% off there. Guys coming in good form over the last six events on DraftKings. Morikawa, Usti, Spieth, English, Hideki, Victor. Names that don't surprise anybody there. But last three events. Let me change this one to six real quick to give us a little bigger sample. Last six events on par 70 courses with 7,200 to 7,400 yards, which meets this. Xander, Colin, Brooks, Berger, Spieth, JT. So as you'd expect, the best of the best show up at this event. And like I did last week, and then we'll get started with this one, I wanted to show you guys DK scoring for this field and no-cut events, because it kind of last week brought out some interesting names like Munoz and stuff that might not really stand out a ton. Last 50 rounds of no-cut events for this field, DK scorers DJ, JT, surprisingly Bryson DeChambeau is third, Tyrrell Hatton is fourth, Xander, McIlroy, Morikawa, Finau, Berger, Webb round out your top 10. So a lot of names you'd expect, but at the same time, kind of like, I honestly wouldn't have picked Bryson to be up there just because he's trunk slammed so much, but makes you a little food for thought there. Any final thoughts before we get into DraftKings, Jesse?
I don't. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. It's going to be a loaded field, even down below. So stars and scrubs will be very popular this week. 10K and above, Morikawa at 11,000 even, Xander 10.8, Brooks 10.6, Spieth 10.4, DJ 10.2, Rory 10,000. Three of those gentlemen coming back from Japan. So what do you like in this range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just like we say every week, all these guys have a legitimate chance to win. Brooks has the course history. I mean, second and first in his last two starts at this course. If you go all the way back to 2014, it's 30th, 37th, second, third, 19th. So, I mean, just really good finishes around here. He also has three straight top sixes, six at the British Open, fifth at the Travelers, and then fourth at the U.S. Open. And we know how Brooks likes to show up in big events like this with a big purse, especially. Jordan Spieth is also, on my radar as far as playability, 30th and 12th in his last two starts here, and then coming off the second place finish at the Open Championship. I would like to see how highly touted DJ is going to be. Coming off a miscut, he's got the course history, 12th, 20th, last two starts. He has won at this course back in 2018, finished fifth in 2016, also won it back in 2012. So obviously he can play this golf course. The miscut at the 3M to me is like whatever. Finished eighth at the Open Championship. He's just kind of, I don't know where his game's at, but like this is where the time of year when I feel like DJ starts to like really come on. So I think it's super interesting, DJ. And like I said, just kind of see how highly touted he is. I think Brooks will have plenty of ownership. Spieth will probably be right there with him. I don't know about the rest of the guys. Xander coming off the gold medal, how far really want to play him. Colin obviously playing really good golf. I'm kind of targeting those three mid guys.
Yeah, like you said, you can play anybody here. DJ is going to be very interesting to see, because I just said he ranks first in DK points over the last 50 rounds in no-cut events. He's got great course history, winning here twice, obviously not in WGC mode, but still played this course, knows this course well. It's weird, though, like in the model I put together, he ranks worse than these 10K and above guys. He's 32nd in the field of a field of 66 golfers. So people might see that and be like, I don't want him. But we've said it many times, if DJ turns it on and plays DJ golf, he's better than probably anybody in this field still to this day. Like, he's just that good when he's lights out, which says a lot because these are the best of the best. So I'm intrigued if people – what people look at. Like, they look at the model and see 32nd, well, then they're probably turned off. But if you go see course history, you see how well he plays with no cuts, you just know DJ's DJ, like you were saying, maybe they play him a lot. If he's low-owned, like projected-wise – I think we kind of have to like go a little heavy on him just for what he can do at times. Now, I'm with you. I think Brooks is the play here. Collins the play. Like, he ranks one in my model. He's like out of like the 10 categories I used, he's tops in 6 of them.
Right.
Dude's ridiculous right now. So it's hard to ignore that. It's just, man, it's like, yes, play Colin Morikawa. There's no question about that. But for me, it's Brooks, as you were saying, the finishes this season, the way he's played at this golf course, the big game hunter, whatever narrative you want. And he even ranks out great in like iron play. So I like Brooks a ton. I think Spieth, like you mentioned, is an intriguing option because in this range, like, Spieth was getting a lot of buzz in recent weeks. But then I think after the Open Championship, we might have forgot about him a little bit. You know, Xander Morikawa off the Olympics, you got Brooks. Maybe Spieth gets a little underowned here, back to kind of how it was about a couple months ago. And we can get a nice piece on Spieth because, you know, approach is one thing Spieth does great. And then around the green, if they are small greens and he has to, you know, save par once in a while, that's huge. So I think Spieth's very intriguing. So I'm with you on these guys. You can play them all. I kind of want Brooks and Spieth, but I'm going to keep a very close eye on DJ's ownership because I think it's very intriguing to see what happens this week because he's obviously still an elite golfer and eventually he's going to click and just start terrorizing people again. 9K range, you got JT at 99, Victor at 97, Usti 96, Bryson 95, Hideki 94, Cantlay 93, Berger 92, Scotty 91, Casey 9000. I haven't heard anything, Jesse, but I'm assuming Bryson's cleared all COVID protocols. So
I would imagine. Yeah, I mean,
it's at least 10 days ago. Whatever.
Yeah. For me, Louis at 96, you know, very playable. Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably be popular. I mean, you know, he's gained a lot in popularity where he hasn't withdrawn in a while. So maybe this is the time when he super burns everybody. Just keep that in mind. Finished 6th there last year, 20th year before that. 2 straight top threes. 2nd at 3M, 3rd at the Open Championship. U.S. Open finished 2nd. I mean, the guy's playing really good golf right now. Berger at 92. His course history is 2nd, miscut, 1st. So obviously plays his course pretty well. Come off the 8th place finish at the Open Championship. Very playable for him there. Scotty Scheffler, 15th here last year, has played really solid golf. 8th and 12th in his last 2 starts, which were overseas. But, you know, even back here in the States, 47th, 7th, and 3rd in the last 3 starts on U.S. soil. And then Paul Casey, man, the dude just playing really solid golf. You know, he didn't play very well here last year, finished 67th, 27th year before that. Course history is not great, but, you know, 15th, 36th, 7th, 4th in his last 4 starts, that's pretty good. And obviously he played the Olympics too. The stuff's not loaded for me. So, oh yeah, finished tied for 4th. Yeah, he was in the playoff. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, there's so much in this 8K or this 9K range that, you know, I might do my usual, just avoid the 10Ks and start down here. And, you know, it's been like you've said, you know, kind of pick 3 of them and yep, whatever. But yeah, it's been pretty successful.
It's been very good. Like, I've had much more success doing that than trying to go stars and scrubs. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And it's like I know I'm cherry picking like stats here, but these guys are all great. So I'm trying to like point out why they're good. But we talked opportunities gained a second ago in just this 9K range. JT, Hovland, and Usti are all 4th in this field, an opportunity game, and Matsuyama's 2nd in this field. Matsuyama will go overlooked again. He gets overlooked every week. He's 4th overall on my model, and I usually never own Matsuyama, but there's just something kind of like, if you're talking about approach game, why wouldn't you like Hideki Matsuyama?
Yeah.
Like, that's just one of those things. Berger rates very well at this course. I think he's going to be very popular, though, and I'll kind of avoid that situation. But I think Usti, he stuck out to me the second I saw his price tag. I'm like, yes, I'll be there. Hopefully people want the Hovlands of the world and everything around him and kind of let him go. We'll see, but he checks the boxes everywhere right now. So I like him a lot. Hovland's always intriguing. Like, all these guys are great, like you said, but I'll probably be focusing on Usti. Matsuyama really stands out as potentially one of those kind of ownership plays that'll help you out a lot. And then Casey's a great play, like you mentioned. The one guy, Scotty Scheffler, like similarly JT, Scheffler ranks 33rd in my model. But he's 3rd in birdie or better. He's 13th in DraftKings scoring in the last 50 no-cut events. It's just one of those deals with Scotty we've talked about time and time again. Can he trunk slam? Heck yeah. But when he gets hot, the dude can go 8 or 9 under, no problem. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to help you in a no-cut event. So if you're trying to play the angles here in a spot like this where Scotty probably goes a little overlooked, especially a Burgers jockey at 92, I don't mind Scheffler in this one at $9,100. And this is where I have trouble following the model, Jesse, because it's like telling me, no, he's not that good in this field. But it's like, I know what I've seen, and it's a little different in my opinion. All right, 8K range, you got Finau at 89, Fitzpatrick at 88, Reed at 87, Lowry at 86, Webb 85, Neiman 84, Answer 83, Smith 82, Connors 81, and Fleetwood at 8,000. Again, this field is ridiculous, Jesse, so who do you like in this range?
Let's start with Fitzpatrick. I'm sure you'll enjoy him as well or be on him this week. Sixth and fourth in the last two starts at this golf course. 26th Open Championship, second Scottish Open, you know, he's just playing really solidly. Shane Lowry, man, I played him last week, and where did he end up finishing?
He's right outside of, I think he's like 6 or 7, because I think he just
missed the playoffs. T22. He didn't have a good Sunday round. He shot 71, which is
par.
Yeah, and you're just getting lapped because all these guys are shooting 63, 64.
Sabatini shot a 61, so yeah, you had a tough day.
I mean, you know, if you shoot even par on that golf course, you know, we talked about that last week, how we thought it was going to be set up easily, and it was. But anyways, on my model, it loves Shane Lowry, and I can see why. You know, he hasn't missed a cut since Arnold Palmer. He's very playable. I like him quite a bit this week. Corey Connors at 81 would be my next choice down there. We know how well he hits the ball. You know, can he make some putts? That's your big question. He made the cut at the Open Championship, finished 15th. Before that, two missed cuts, which was the Scottish Open and the U.S. Open. But you know, back on home soil here, you know, and obviously no cut event to worry about that at all. And if he gets hot with a putter, you know, he can be up there with the leader. So 8,100, I like him too.
Yeah, no, we're on some similar ones. Fitzpatrick, I'll probably have some of, but he's coming in some really wonky form. So I'm kind of curious to see how that ownership looks. That the course history is going to be very, very promising, as you said, but ranks 37th in my model. His off the tee game's great. He's hitting fairways like crazy, but his approach game, like if we're focused on 150 to 177, he's 66th, dead last in this field. So, which surprised me because his iron game used to be what his forte was, and right now it's off right now. So that does surprise me quite a bit. Lowry ranks very well. He ranks 11th in this field for me, and I like him a lot. We've talked about him pretty much every week because no one likes to roster Shane Lowry, and the dude just plugs away. He might be better for a cut event, maybe. Maybe that's something we have to start thinking about. But no cut, it's like it's one of those guys that'll finish mid-pack at worst, so he's not going to trunk slam your lineup. But does he have the upside to get there? That's the question. And I think he does, but that's the question. And then the other guys, you mentioned Connors, ranks 5th in my model. I like him quite a bit this week. Abe Anser ranks 2nd in my model, which is crazy. But he's high up there because Anser is an irons play guy. It's always been that way. Can he putt? That's the million-dollar question with Abe Anser. So I think he's another good one at 8,300. And last but not least in this range, another guy similar to like the Scotty Scheffler ilk in my mind. And we saw it on Sunday at the Olympics. He did the same. I think he shot 8 under. Cam Smith is one of those guys that can go low quickly. He did a concession, and then he had like that one bad day that took him out of the running at concession for the WGC event. I could see the same thing happening this week. So Cam Smith at 82 is a very, very nice no-cut event type play as well. 7K range. If you just want to group them all together, we got Zalatoris, Kokrak, M, English, Harmon, Hatton, Sergio, Adam Scott, Leishman, Horschel, Poulter, and Rose. I think I know some guys you'll be on here. Who you got?
I mean, you know, 7,900 Zalatoris. He's never played here. He's, you know, he WD'd it from the Open Championship. He got hurt, right? Get hurt?
Yes. His back or his ego, something like that.
We shot 69 the first day, but either way, he's kind of, you know, I'd rather go to Kokrak at 78. He played here last year, finished 44th. In 2015, he finished 64th, and he missed two cuts before that, but that was a long time ago. Playing really good golf. Sergio at 73, 35th and 40th. I mean, not great the last 2 years, but has had 5 straight top 25s, which you really need more than that out of all your guys if you're going to win big money this week. But, you know, Sergio, he's a ball striker, so I'll take him here. Then Justin Rose, man, at 7,000. Finished 11th here in his only start in 2019. Did make the cut to Open Championship, made the cut to Travelers. I mean, it's 7,000 down here with the likes of Poulter and Sam Burns, who we'll talk about next, but and Billy Horschel. I mean, like, I don't know. I would more than I'm more than willing to take my chances with Justin Rose at $7,000.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there on Rose, especially like you think about how in recent weeks we've been like, do you use Rose? Do you use Rose? No. But now it's a no-cut event, so yeah. It's just like you know the talent's there. We've seen it from time to time of late, just not consistently. That's why it's kind of sketchy. But it's like T46 at the Open Championship, didn't play T36 at Traveler, so it's like he's not lighting the world on fire. But we know the potential of a Justin Rose. It could get hot and make things go. So I'm with you. I think it's intriguing at 7K. For me in this range, Kokrak I like a lot. Ranks 13th in my model. Second in birdie or better in this field. Third in opportunities gained. So literally, we know how he operates. Like most of these guys, you said it best. Luck box putting. Can Kokrak putt? Like, plain and simple. Is he going to putt this week? We got a shot because he's rather accurate off the tee, which is very, very nice. And he goes deep off the tee, so that's good too. So I like Kokrak quite a bit. I love Harris English. I'm actually surprised he's only 25th in this model right now just because of his recent form. Maybe if I shrunk it down to like the last 12 rounds or whatever, it'd be a little different. But he's playing great golf, obviously coming off a W a few starts ago. Iron play is his forte, so I like English quite a bit. He's actually ranking pretty well around the green of late as well. So with the small greens, that could, like, I know we want birdies for DK, but avoiding the bogeys is just as big in these type of events for that finishing position. So I like English at 76. Hatton at 74, talked about him in no-cut events. He's a birdie machine. So, like, he's quite intriguing. And then I'm with you on Rose. A lot of these guys down here, they're coming in really, really bad form. Scott Leishman, Billy Ho, Poulter even, which kind of gets me a little worried. Those are some guys, like even Brian Harman, I usually go hard on these guys, but they're coming out not looking too strong. So I'll probably stick to a couple guys here in the 7K range, maybe dive into the 6K, which is a little more appealing to me, actually. So big 6K range, Jesse. Who are you liking down here?
I've only got a couple. Sam Burns at 69. I mean, he's been a popular name the last few weeks that he's played, but I think he's fine. And then my model likes Aaron Rye at 63. Finished 12th there in 2019. Been playing on the European tour mostly and hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship back in May. So those are one more. Victor Perez, 61, 65th here last year, coming off a Open Championship missed cut. He's been up and down, but he can, when he gets hot, he can make some birdies and a lot of birdies in a row.
Yeah. Like Sam Burns as well. He's 24th in my model, 8th in birdie or better in this field over the last 24 rounds. So he's a guy that can fill it up if he's feeling it. One guy I like a lot, and we'll see if the emotions of the Olympics was kind of warmed down for this week or not, but Carlos Ortiz ranks 19th in my model. He's another guy that can fill it up a lot. We saw it last week. He birdied a ton, and he was up near the top early in that tournament. And he hung out with the big boys and did not falter, which as to me is like he's ready to play, which is big. Proximity from 150 to 175, he's 10th in this field, 14th in greens and regulation. So he's going to have a chance to put up some birdies this week. I like Carlos at 67. Siwoo ranks really good here, but I can't stomach that one. I'm sorry. But if we're looking like just for like some punts for iron plays, Marty Laird's always one that if he's in the fairway, his iron plays not too shabby. He'll go very, very overlooked in this one. And that's about all. Like Jim Herman ranks well in this field. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. So I'm going to just avoid that one. I probably wouldn't go too much lower than Marty Laird, but I try to stay. Stu Goat, he's 31st in this field. I guess in 6K range, I can stomach that. He's a guy we know can birdie a ton. We've seen him in some smaller events have some success there as well. All right. Recap of things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above. Who you liking?
I'm going to say DJ.
I think it's like I'm going to go Brooks, but seriously, if DJ, like if we look at projections and like it's a small field, so everyone's going to be higher owned than usual type thing. But if they're saying like 10 or 12% on DJ, like I got to go 20 to 25 at least. I got to like have a strong little double up on that or something. Cause man, if he even finishes top five, that's going to be tremendous. So I'm with you there. 9K range. Let's go two. This is ridiculously loaded.
I'll say Louis and Berger.
I'll go Louie and Scotty. I'm going to be stuck on Scotty, so we'll see how my weekend goes there. 8K range, go ahead and go with two as well.
Fitzpatrick and Lowry.
I'll go with Answer and Cam Smith. Those will be my two on that one. 7K range, go ahead and go with two.
Kukrak and Rose.
I'm going to go with English and Hatton in this range. And then 6K range, I guess we can go one because we don't have a ton we like down here.
Aaron Rye.
I'll go with Carlos Ortiz. This is going to be one of those that you're going to have to delve in here unless you get really balanced, which can be different. But, yeah, Rye has been playing well. I can't remember what – was it the Open Championship that he played well? Because his name's popped up in a few things lately. So I could see that being quite intriguing as well.
I can tell you. I don't know if he played in the Open Championship.
I'm trying to see what event it was recently. But
load.
No problem. It's not a big deal. We don't condone cash this week, obviously, for a no-cut event. But if you're starting a GPP, Jesse, where are you starting?
I've got DJ, Rose, and Kokrak just full tilt.
I like that. I'm going to go DJ, Scheffler, Cam Smith. We are going boom or bust on this one. So let's have some fun with that. Who you got winning this thing?
I was looking at odds. I mean, DJ's 18-1.
Not bad.
I mean, I hate to even mention it, but Louis at 22, like,
it's good odds.
You know, he's got to win eventually, right?
And I think I heard somewhere that like the past X amount of winners in this and just WGCs in general are all 30 or better. Like, there's not many long shots win this thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's kind of like a major. Yeah. You got Scotty there at 30, and also, you know, Fitzpatrick at 33. Yeah,
just sitting there looking at us. Yeah. But I like that Usti call at 22. It's like he's been so close. He's going to break through. It's coming. Like, he's too good. He's too locked in right now. That probably means he's just going to have a horrible week now. But I'll keep going back to him because when he's on like he is, he's freaking on, which is good. You know, honestly, at a field like this, Morikawa at 14 is intriguing just because he's so freaking locked in right now. But, yeah, I'd rather – the odds aren't great. It's funny. Barracuda odds are up. And like I said, we're not going to cover the Barracuda here, but it's a much more loaded field than our, like, Gary Woodland's in the Barracuda, Jesse. Gary Woodland.
Yeah. I was just looking at some of the names there. Yeah. I mean, there's some decent names, Peters, but Ches fucking Mav McNeely's the highest price.
Brendan Grace is the highest. He's the highest odds, 16-1. Mav's 18-1. Griot's 18-1. Mito's there. Perea.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get he played good last week. Get so suckered into this.
Thomas Peters, 96.
Yeah. Oh, you got my boy Hubba Hubbard here in a birdie mm-hmm. fest. Flat Bill's there because he'll be playing at the casinos in the evening, so he'll be having a great time
for sure.
Oh man, this Vincent Whaley's. Oh, it's gonna be great. I might have more interest in that tournament than I do for the no cut.
This is gonna have a cut.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll make. But don't they do the Stableford scoring? So you get all freaking weirded out on this one. It's like plus 43 wins this thing or something. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
It might be. Is it in Nevada?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It used to be in Reno, and they moved it to like the Nevada, like the California side now. But yeah, it's the same tournament.
Gotcha. Yeah. Then it's Stableford. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one Morikawa won a couple years back, and then last year, I think Wierwinski won it. I think it was one of my few wins I got last year in OAD, so that was fun. But yeah, for you guys that are doing one and done, check your stuff because
might have
two this week. So yeah. Keep that in mind as well. Yeah. And what I've learned so far in these cheap events, just take the chalk. Don't get cute. Don't get cute. It ain't worth it because they ain't making much money anyways. So just go get you some. But final thoughts, Jesse, as usual, you know, don't use all your salary, all that fun stuff. So
yep.
Anything else?
And good luck. That's it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. No cut event. Starting on Thursday, and then, you know, the playoffs are around the corner. And then just, like, in 2 months, we'll be back to the fall swing of, like, safety and stuff. So, like, honestly, we're getting to the point of the season where it's fun events because they're loaded fields, but I need cut events. I need cuts.
It's just, I'm with you.
I'm looking forward to, like, Safeway and those kind of deals before it happens. But make sure you guys check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm on Twitter at BDN. Check the podcast at Always Press DFS. If you guys give a rate and review on iTunes, we truly appreciate it. And check it out on YouTube if you'd like, at the Fantasy DGens YouTube channel. But until next time, good luck, everybody. We'll see you later. Anybody ever wonder